Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome in to another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bartholomew. On today's episode, from City Hall, another conversation with Providence Mayor Jorge Elorza. Good to sit down with Mayor Elorza again for his second appearance on the Bartholomew Town Podcast, this time prompted by his unveiling of the new Providence. Now, that's a concept that he rolled out at the State of the City address just about a month ago. So we break down what exactly the mayor means when he speaks of the new Providence, how that impacts some of the major concerns that face the city. Of course, the beleaguered pension system, the educational challenges, at minimum challenges, that the city has faced for quite some time. A jam-packed episode here on Bartholomew Town. Now, I just came from a press conference in which Governor Raimondo declared a state of emergency here in Rhode Island. This, of course, related to COVID-19. For the latest information on this matter, search for the podcast or me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. And we're working right now to get the director of the Rhode Island Department of Health, Dr. Nicole Alexander Scott, here on the Bartholomew Town Podcast. Obviously a busy time in her world, as busy as it gets. We're trying to make that happen as soon as possible. So that's the latest we have. Again, follow the social media accounts for the daily, sometimes hourly updates that I'm posting there. Support for the Bartholomew Town Podcast comes from Newport Vineyards.
My name is Paul Nunes. I am the co-owner and farm manager here at Newport Vineyards. I've been at this since 1995, and so this is our 25th year. We're the largest producer of estate-grown wines in New England currently. All of our farmland is conserved in partnership with primarily the Aquidneck Land Trust, a local nonprofit organization dedicated to the conservation of open spaces.
Discover more at newportvineyards.com.
Hello.
All right, so we are here in the mayor's office at Providence City Hall. Good afternoon, Mayor. Thanks so much.
Well, good afternoon, Bill. It's great to have you here.
A real pleasure. So, at the State of the City just a few weeks ago, I guess it was about a month ago now, a concept you rolled out, the new Providence. WPRO Steve Klamkin, I think he counted it 41 times.
That's
in
it.
The speech. That's it, yeah. So let's get right into, if you don't mind, sort of the gist of what that means. I think broadly we know what it means, but in Providence residents, but for everyone in Rhode Island, what does that mean?
I think it starts with the realization, frankly, that the Providence of today is very different than the Providence that I grew up in and that many other folks throughout the city grew up in. And it begins with, 40 years ago, Providence was not known. City Hall wasn't known as a place that was known for integrity, that was known for transparency, that was known for honesty. And so we've changed that, and we've been very responsible with all the decisions that we've made. And fiscal responsibility is an important piece of that. So now we're making our full pension payments. We finished every year with a surplus. We have a rainy day fund, a real rainy day fund for the first time in probably decades. And our credit rating has been upgraded. And we're in a better financial position than, frankly, we've been in a really, really, really long time. This isn't something that Providence has historically been known for. And this is the new Providence. And now that we have our finances in order, now we're investing in ourselves. For decades, we've deferred maintenance both in our public schools and in our public infrastructure. Now, finally, that work is being done. We have $500 million, $500 million of infrastructure that's coming over the next 5 years, more than we have ever seen here in the city. And again, it's a change in approach. It means planning for the future and making these investments responsibly, rather than waiting for things to break and then going back and fixing them. When I was growing up in Providence, our city wasn't known for being a safe city. And now, it's the safest that it's been. In all, you know, in the entire time that the FBI has kept records, shootings are down over 65%, and we're building stronger relationships with the community. This has been a long time in coming, but the results speak for themselves. Economic development. You know, the city that I inherited, even 6 years ago, there wasn't much happening in terms of private investment. Now cranes in the sky have been become a fixture of our landscape. We have so much happening both here downtown and out in our neighborhoods. So we're turning formerly abandoned vacant properties, bringing them back to life, and contributing to the community vibe and spirit. And then, you know, the last piece of it is, when I was growing up in Providence, there was a sense that you had to know a guy to get anything done in City Hall. You know, we've used technology. We created our 311 system. We keep track of every single complaint that comes in. So now you don't have to know a guy. You don't have to support the right person. If you're a resident of our city, you deserve the same high-quality level of services as anybody else, and that gets delivered today in the New Providence. So that's the New Providence in a nutshell. And you know, it's important to emphasize that, you know, it didn't just start a few years ago. Some of it goes back long into the past, and it's certainly something that, you know, we haven't reached that point yet. It's still, you know, New Providence in transition. But on all these scores, you know, I think that we can all look up and be very proud that certain elements of our past we have left in our past, and we've embraced change so that, you know, we can do all these great things that I just spoke about.
Obviously, we last year with not selling the water supply, there's always pushback on the financial health of the city from different sectors.
Yeah.
Are you making an argument that long term, the direction Providence is going, it'll be able to, on its own, sort of work its way out of any challenges that it has? It's people, it's innovations, that those mechanisms are what it actually will take to work out of any kind of debts?
Yes, but under one really important circumstance, or one important condition. So, you know, clearly, objectively, and I think everybody would agree with this, that our finances are in much stronger shape than they have been, you know, you go back even into the 1970s. So there's certainly something really positive there to celebrate. With that said, we still have the lingering unfunded pension liability and also the unfunded OPEB trust. So these are other post-employment benefits like retiree health care. So yes, we have those lingering out there. It's not an issue that is imminent, that we're going to fail to meet our basic obligations overnight. Even if a recession came, we're in as strong a position to withstand that recession as we've been in a really long time. But it's going to require very, very responsible decision-making over my next 3 years, and then whoever the next mayor is, they're going to have to continue this. The mayor that follows after that is going to, you know, have to continue these responsible decision-makings. So that's the big condition here. Yes, we're going to be fine, but it's going to require some really important and at times some really difficult decisions to be made, not just by myself, but by the folks who occupy this office after me.
Anything imminent as far as a difficult decision that you're wrestling with right now?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, part of the challenge here is that we can celebrate that our short-term finances, our mid-range finances, they're in much better shape. Our long-term finances are still something that we have to keep a really close eye on. And so the challenge is, how do you sound the alarm that we can't take our eye off the ball with the long term, while at the same time celebrating that things are good during the short and medium term? So with that challenge, you know, we're currently working and putting together some ideas of how we can do two things. The first is continue to sound the alarm about the long term challenges, and second, do some, you know, adopt some best practices. There are things that we can do that, you know, won't necessarily be the once and for all solution to all of our challenges, but they're smart things that a city should do that are going to help with the long-term finances. And just as we're prepared to do those things, I'm sure that the next mayor is going to have to do similar things. So yes, all that work continues, but I think first and foremost it's important to make sure that this remains at the fore of all of our minds, so that no one is surprised when difficult decisions have to be made, Now everyone understands where that comes from and why they need to be done.
So it's a mindset as well, this new province in India. How do the schools fit into this? Obviously, we could do a podcast series. I'm sure someone will do a series on Providence education, 1980 through whenever.
Yeah.
But you've, in your capacity now, you've sort of teed it up as much as you can, handed off as much as you can, and do you have to take a sit back and wait perspective, or how much can you get in at this point?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there is no sit back and wait, especially when it comes to education. And I think that, education is part of this new Providence as well. You know, we've put off deferred maintenance in our school buildings for decades, right? I went to these same schools and they had the issues 40 years ago. But for the first time in a generation, $500 million of infrastructure is going to go in, including $278 million over the next several years. So that handles the infrastructure side. Then on the instruction side, again, I go back for the past 40 years, our schools have been performing as poorly as they are today. And I didn't become mayor to be the caretaker of a failing system. I clashed with the teachers union for a good year and change. I called for a transformational contract. This is over 2 years ago. And during the course of the negotiations, I came to understand that you can't do transformational change through the regular contract negotiation process. The state laws protect the status quo in a way that prevents you from doing this. And at the city level, we also don't have the tools that folks at the state level have. And so that's where the conversation began. I remember sitting down for lunch with the governor, and she saw what I had tried to do with education, and she was very interested in doing something on education. And she floated out some ideas about maybe taking over some middle schools, because those were particularly challenged, and partnering in different ways. And I told her, Governor, I'm all in. And if we're going to do this, let's do this. Let's do this full bore.
So that's a few years ago.
This is last year.
This is well ahead of the Johns Hopkins report.
Oh yeah, no. This is what led to the Johns Hopkins report. And so out of that conversation where we agreed, let's do this, we agreed that step number one would be, let's bring in an outside group, let's do a review of the schools, and let's get the process started that way. So that's how it began, and it's part of the new Providence because it's a challenge that we've had for generations, but we haven't taken this step yet. And I'd like to think that we'll look back on this moment 20 years from now and look back and say that this is the moment when the school turnaround began. So there's a lot of hard work to be done, but at the very least, for the first time in a long time, there's hope and optimism that change is coming.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Bartholomew Town, Rhode Island's podcast of record. New episodes every Tuesday and Friday. Listen wherever you get your pods or visit ripodcast.com. And a great way that you can support Bartholomew Town is wherever you're listening right now, leave a rating. Now back to my conversation with Mayor Lorza from Providence City Hall.
Last area, I guess, would be mobility, whether it's bike lanes, which is, of course, everybody listening to this knows you're almost associated with that inevitably going forward, but that's a huge movement here in Providence. But there's also mobility concerns. I was hosting on the radio one, I think it was the day after your State of the City address, and I got a number of calls from constituents who were concerned that they were wheelchair-bound, et cetera. In fact, I even met one during the special election council. Mm-hmm. And there's this sort of broad concern about mobility, buses, affordable housing, how it all fits into building the city. Yeah. Where does that sit in the new Providence?
Yeah, that's absolutely a part of our new Providence. And the truth is that Providence is about 20 years late to the game when it comes to multimodal mobility options. You go to cities throughout the country. I think Minneapolis really stands out. But you go to New York City, you go to Washington, D.C., you go to so many places throughout the country and the world, and they've made designated spaces and lanes for bicycles, for scooters, for pushing strollers, for running, for people to use the streets in all of these different ways. And so we're late to the game, but we're looking to catch up in the coming years. And the way that I feel about this is we need to construct a citywide network of bike lanes and dedicated lanes so that it becomes just a matter of sort of a matter of course. It's just, of course, as we're building a new street, this is how it's built, and these are the amenities that we put in. And eventually, people will become so accustomed to it and will adjust in the way that they get around. So, whereas right now, there are a lot of people who don't ride their bicycle to work because it's inconvenient and maybe unsafe. Well, now if you have dedicated bike lanes, they start to change their behavior. You know, when I think about, when I think about the use of the bike lanes, sometimes people don't necessarily see themselves as the users. You know, but I say to folks, you know, think about being able to teach your grandchild how to ride their bicycle on one of these bike lanes and not be concerned about, you know, getting hit by a car, or riding with your family and knowing that they're safe and secure. And so, you know, this is certainly something that's going to benefit everyone throughout the city, and it's about time that we invest in this way. So those are the dedicated lanes, but mobility stretches far beyond that. We're also investing in our bus rapid transit system here in downtown, so that as soon as you get to downtown, it's going to be very easy for you to jump on and off of a bus to get anywhere from the train station down to the Rhode Island Hospital. And every 2 or 3 minutes, you can hop on and hop out, and you can easily circulate anywhere. So, you know, once you get to one place, then it's very easy to get around. And if you want to hop on a scooter, that's fine. You know, we have the Jump Bicycles that should be coming back to the city soon, so we're going to have the bike share program. You know, we have the Waymo driverless bus that's circulating in the Olneyville neighborhood. Yeah. So we're experimenting and we're trying all these different things, but what we've learned is that, you know, we need to design our city for people and not for cars. And people are hungry for different ways of getting in and around the city, and we're providing all those options today.
Last question, real quick. Any well wishes for ostensibly the councilor-elect? Obviously, there's still a general election, but he's unopposed.
Mm-hmm.
Councilor-elect will say Gonzalez.
Yeah, so we exchanged a couple voice messages recently. I congratulated him. You know, I think that he's an honest, earnest young man. He's very bright. He is very thoughtful. He's been really engaged in the community since he's been around, and I know he's from the area too. So I think he has all the qualities that it takes to do a really good job in this very difficult role. So I wish him all the best. I wish him a lot of luck, and I look forward to working together to move our city forward.
Mayor, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
As always, thanks for spending some time here in Bartholomew Town. I'll be back on Friday with a brand new episode. Until then, I'm Bill Bartholomew. Talk soon.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.